Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the Tigers begin a 12-year rebuild, the Dragons fans have gone tattoo crazy, and we revisit, has it aged well? Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB podcast, actually. Instagram, FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's the man who this week declared that Prince Philip isn't dead and was seen shopping at IGA Oatley. His building company, Half Punts Housing, was featured on a current affair last night. And tonight, he's wearing a layered cardigan that Lara Bingle has also started to wear. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, thank you, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, world. This cardigan, it's sold out everywhere since Lara Bingle wore it once. They're going for an absolute mozza, former. So I'm wearing two of them tonight because it's a bit chilly in the studio.
I don't think Lara spills a pie down the front of them like you do.
It'll wash out. Yeah, it's a little unclear whether I actually did see Prince Philip in IGA Oatley. I think it was him getting a barbecue chook for only $10 on Mondays.
Rectinol.
I'm unsure because everyone looks that old and decrepit in Oatley. God's waiting room, they call us.
It was either Prince Philip or the trolley boy.
Who knows?
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
First story comes from the Coonabarabran Courier. Baby boy born with three penises in Iraq creates history.
Wow.
A baby boy has been born in Iraq's Dukirk region with... Dukirk region with three penises, and it has created medical history. According to the doctors, he is the first ever human who was born with such an affliction. Doctors have told the Coonabarabran Courier that the parents are exploring the option of sewing a third arm onto the kid. The three-month-old baby has been diagnosed with a condition called triphalia. His parents are currently looking for a set of triplets to invite to his 18th birthday. The doctors revealed that the parents took their three-month-old baby to the hospital when they discovered two skin projections at the base of his scrotum. I found one skin projection at the base of my scrotum.
I gave you that cream for that.
On examining the baby, doctors found out that the baby had two more penises growing out of his scrotum.
Wow.
As reported by the Coonabarabran Courier, the first penis was growing out the root of his primary penis, while the other one was growing under the scrotum. The case has baffled doctors. It's a rare case as the baby was never exposed to drugs while he was in the womb, and it's reported that the boy's family does not have a history of generic anomalies. Three dongs, Sid.
Imagine, three dongs. He's like a cow, this guy.
Imagine having a crank. It'd look like Farmer Brown milking one of his cows. There'd be hands and milk everywhere.
I can't believe the parents took 3 months to notice this kid had three schlongs. But I guess they weren't real sure when you popped out if you were a boy or a girl, were they?
No.
It can happen, but I'm surprised.
Two belly buttons.
I'm surprised that this is the first time that this has ever happened. Shit like this seems to happen in India all the time. You're treated like a god, especially if you're born with three schlongs in India, I reckon. There's definitely some upsides to this, though. There was an article the other day where a woman was giving birth and the doctor realised the woman had two vaginas.
Oh.
So those two would make a great couple. You could sell those videos for a mozza, I reckon. And this guy's pants will always fit like a glove, so there's that.
FCTTB. This one comes from the Narromine News, and it's my husband's penis piercing put me in hospital.
I'm glad it's another penis story. He only had one, this fella. Boo.
When you've been in a long-term relationship for over 10 years, Sid, it's only natural you want to spice things up between the sheets. Anita Bath explained how her and her husband planned a romantic date night in a nearby forest a few years ago. I think you'll find that's called pegging.
Dogging.
Very romantic.
It's taking the dog out for a walk in the forest. That's romantic.
But after a spontaneous quickie in the woods, Anita Bath immediately felt a burning sensation in her vagina.
Is she a pom?
I don't know.
For some reason, I'm thinking she's a pom.
I was in a lot of pain, she said. I had an IUD put in, but that I was having a lot of difficulty with.
You don't know what that is, eh? You think that's a vodka.
I thought it was a
can of vodka.
Urinary tract infection. What? Infection.
She put a UDL up there? Good on her.
Having a lot of difficulty with, she said. But when it got really bad, I knew I had to say something to him about it. Surprisingly, Anita Bath started panicking and asked her husband whether he had cheated on her and given her an STD. Always blame the blokes.
Yeah. You
know, am I right, ladies? Those dirty, filthy men. However, Anita Bath said she knew deep down, very deep down, that her husband wouldn't have been unfaithful. Wouldn't think so, Anita. And that's when her doctor asked if she was allergic to anything. When she told the doctor that she was allergic to sterling silver, it then dawned on her husband that the reaction could have been caused by his new penis piercing, which he'd gotten in secret. After he got that with his St. George tattoo. After doing a pelvic exam, the doctor then decided to do an ultrasound too to get to the root, that's right, get to the root of Anita Bath's problem. And that's when he discovered her IUD had become embedded in her womb and caused an infection. She explained the ultrasound not only revealed that I had an infection, but also showed that I have polyps, which were precancerous. I have continued on with my life. I would have continued on with my life not knowing, she explained, the chances of me having cancer were 75% within the next year or two. So I'm very grateful that he did go and get that piercing.
Yeah, well, all's well that ends well, I guess. But the old Prince Albert strikes again. Yeah, imagine having a dick piercing named after you. Prince Albert. What a champion. That was a time when royals were really admired, former.
Now, yeah, that's right.
Nowadays, things get named after royals all the time. There's, of course, the boat, the Queen Mary.
Yep.
It's named after Queen Mary.
Right.
The QE2 boat, named after Queen Elizabeth II, newly single former.
Yes, that's right.
There's, of course, Queensland.
And ready to mingle, I understand. It's going to get through that pesky funeral.
The whole state of Queensland, named after, I don't know, all the queens, I guess. The state of Victoria is named after Queen Victoria. Charles, he has his name associated with the Prince of Wales Hospital at Randwick. Very proud moment for him. Prince Andrew has his name associated with pedophilia.
Yes.
And his dad, Philip, was associated with Nazis. But Prince Albert, he takes the cake. That's all-time former. Now, the rumour goes that Prince Albert, who was the cousin of Queen Victoria and her husband, gotta love the royal family, he had a schlong that was so offensive in his tight pants that were trendy in the 1850s. So they put a ring on the end of it so his royal Queenslayer could be positioned better in his pants. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk. It's just here to educate people.
You've got the old Prince Albert. What's it like having a whiz? Is it like a sprinkler going off?
You know the answer to that.
There's piss on the walls, on the roof. What's going on in there?
Still worth it.
6 months from the Cowra Chronicle. Driver fined for alleged phone use test positive for methamphetamines, police say.
Now, I've been told that these mouth swabs can be very unreliable and give false readings, former.
An Adelaide driver who allegedly tested positive for methamphetamines told officers he was using his mobile phone while at the wheel so he could take photos of an elephant-shaped cloud.
Circumstantial at best. I'm not sure.
I mean, if you've seen a cloud shaped like an elephant, it doesn't matter if the cops are sitting next to you.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Phone's out. People get them out.
Mate, you can beat me all you want. I've got to capture this. Oh, you're making a TikTok out of this.
Police put three into him.
Victorian police would have.
I thought that was my taser. Oh, did you? 20 years you've been in the cop shop, they reckon. Police patrol pulled over the man from Adelaide's northeastern suburbs after he was spotted in the city's CBD at about 10:45 a.m. Pretty early to be on a glass barbie, I would have thought, but fair enough. Police said The officer was surprised to see a driver in the car next to him pull out his mobile phone at the intersection of Flinders Street and Putney Avenue. The officer pulled the car over and spoke to the driver, 49-year-old from Banks. 49 on the glass, Barbie.
Yeah, good on him.
Quizzing him
he
about...
won't be doing it 59.
He's 49, but his teeth are 99 for some reason. How's that work out? Quizzing him about why he was holding the phone, the man was drug tested at the scene, allegedly returned a positive reading for methamphetamines. There's
nothing else to do in Adelaide.
He was given a $601, I wouldn't think that's the worst thing going on at the moment over there. He's given a $601 fine for mobile phone use, and the drug sample was sent for forensic testing.
Someone's getting a B&E done in their house. He's not paying that $601 out of his pocket.
Where was this level of policing when people were not stuffing bodies into barrels? Went quiet on that one, didn't they?
Turned a blind eye to that, didn't you?
The man also was travelling with his child in the rear seat, but he had a seatbelt on, so that's all right, of the car at the time.
And being from Adelaide, he also had three dead bodies in the boot.
A roll of carpet, some duct tape and a shovel. NRL Round Review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, we started on Thursday night and the Brisbane Broncos were right in it for about 8 minutes when they led 6-0, only for the South Sydney Rabbitohs to score the next 35 points to win 35 points to 6.
Yeah, I thought an upset was in the offing.
For about 5 minutes. Without the elusive Cody Walker, the Bunnies were still far too good for the Broncos in a 6-1 demolition. Without Walker, the Bunnies brought in a middle-aged Benji Marshall to the 5-8 position, and they barely missed a beat, smoking the Broncos, who put in their standard 20-minute effort early in the game. The man who was declared by Sid Punce as a flop at fullback, Latrell Mitchell,
stand by it,
again had a big night from the back with yet another red-hot performance. He scored a double, set up another try, ran for 132 running metres, had 6 tackle busts, and nailed a cheeky field goal in the final seconds. The Broncos haven't won a game in Sydney, Sid, since 2019, and it's hard to see anything changing in that statistic until they play the Dogs later this year at Renovators Delight.
Yeah, well, the first two tries came straight down that right-hand defence of the Broncos, which is abysmal. The first one from a great kick from Adam Reynolds. Jeez, he's a good player, former. Then their third try...
Look good in the Tigers jersey, just quietly.
Then their third try came down the same side, a break from Gagai, setting up Adam Reynolds to score. Geez, he's a good player, former. And then right on the stroke of halftime, my mate, Adam Reynolds, took the ball and drilled an arrogant 2-point field goal to put the Bunnies in control at 19-6. They didn't even get out of second gear in this game. They did it easy, the Bunnies, or as you call them, Parramatta. They demolished the Broncos... mostly because of Adam Reynolds. Jeez, he's a good player, former.
Well, the game had its first 2-point field goal, as we said, Sid, in about 60 years, as Adam Reynolds, jeez, he's a good player, kicked one from outside the 40 in the dying stages of the first half.
Another statistic a lot of people don't know, Benji Marshall was on the field for both of those.
So was Wayne Bennett was coaching both those sides.
Wayne was on the bench.
Adam Reynolds, who was a good player, had a hand in their first try as well with a cross-field kick, as you said. He got one of his own and then slotted the field goal right on the stroke of halftime. Jeez, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He also declared the Brisbane Broncos an appealing... I mean, he joked about this. He's also declared the Brisbane Broncos an appealing landing spot as he faces the reality of leaving the South Sydney Rabbitohs, or I call them the Eels, at the end of the year. The Rabbitohs have refused to move on their one-year offer to Reynolds, leaving the star halfback in a difficult position as he looks for a new team for the first time in his career.
I know where he could go.
despite news stories last week saying they'd offered him a 2-year deal, the fine print revealed it was a 1-year deal with an option in the club's favour.
Yeah, it certainly looks like Adam Reynolds will be on the move next year. At the same time...
Did you say Adam Reynolds?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Good player.
It looks like he'll be on the move next year. At the same time that Wayne Bennett will be moving on, both Reynolds and Wanye have said that moving up to Brisbane is appealing. Make of that what you will. But for Reynolds, surely the opportunity to move away from a club you've spent your whole career at, winning a premiership along the way, to link up with Kevvy Walters at the Broncos is very appealing.
And when I say appealing, we mean not unattractive. The first game on Friday saw the, well, Manly Seagulls.
This was unbelievable.
Get a win, 13 points to 12. The threat of putting Paul Green into the Manly coaching staff has had the desired effect, with the Seagulls getting their first win of the year against an out-of-sorts Warriors side. In a scrappy game where it felt like neither team were game enough to throw the ball around, it came down to a DCE field goal in the final moments to break the deadlock and avoid Golden Point and give Manly their first win of the year. It's the third time in five Warriors/Manly clashes that DCE has broken the deadlock with a field goal.
Yeah, wow.
Cherry Evans also set up both of Manly's tries and nailed the match-winning field goal to silence his critics for a couple of hours.
Yeah, there was some great defence from the Warriors in this game, especially early. Jazz Tavunga absolutely poleaxed Hank Scorpio. I guess if your name is
you
Jazz,
know what I don't like about Jazz,
you got to be tough.
His timing's all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. So annoying.
It's very inconsistent. A 5-4-3-4-4-4.
Nothing worse than Jazz. Not you, bro. This guy's tough as nails. And you've got to be tough with a name like that. It was a great hit. Trbojevic then was somehow held up the line by Tuivasa-Sheck. That was unbelievable. Then the Warriors did it again, somehow holding Croker up over the line. I thought they were the better team in this one, but two tries from kicks from Cherry Evans and a field goal, as you mentioned, saw the Eagles steal this one from the unlucky Warriors, who were admittedly down on troops.
What do you think about Jazz's brother that's coming through through the juniors there at the Warriors?
Who's the other Tavunga that you're talking about?
I'm talking about Soul Music Tavunga. Have you seen much of him?
I'm going to cut that joke out later. What else you got?
Oh, I don't mind his sister, Reggae. She goes well.
I thought there'd be a Honda joke or something, but anyway.
I got nothing.
Okay.
While Manly wait the return of their saviour, Tom Trbojevic, from injury, the Warriors also got a taste of their new reality as they played their first game with Auckland real estate firm Adam Fanua and Blake not playing. Injured, out, gone. The Warriors were rocked by the news that their new recruit will be sidelined much longer than expected with a knee injury, with fears he could miss the remainder of the season. Fanua Blake averaged 160 running metres over the first three games before he picked up the knee injury in round four. On this game alone, only one Warriors forward ran for over 100 metres.
Yeah, in other terrible injury news, geez, it was tough to see Dylan Walker's ass when Tuivasa-Sheck pantsed him in the tackle. We laughed and laughed about it until we realised Walker will now be sidelined for over a month due to a hamstring injury. Mm. Then we laughed and laughed some more.
Mm. Jury's out. The second game was probably the game of the round. Saw the Penrith Panthers beat the Raiders 30 points to 10. In front of a group of players from the 1991 Premiership-winning Panthers side, the modern-day Penrith team handed out some tough footy lessons to a gutsy Raiders outfit. Despite being in the game for about the first 30 minutes, Canberra fell victim to the absolute relentlessness of the Panthers, who remain unbeaten in 2021. It ended at 5-2, which was pretty indicative of how the game was played out, with a couple of mellies about the only time the Raiders looked like they could win the fight. Nathan Cleary finished with 5 goals and a try of his own to show why he's regarded as the best half in the competition by the length of the straight.
Yeah, it was a cracking night for Panthers fans out there at Full Credit to the Boys, brought to you by Bluebet Stadium, honouring their 1991 Premiership winning team with a great performance. Were you watching that, West Tigers? That's how you do it. It was a real arm wrestle.
It was a real tribute.
Yeah, an appropriate tribute. But anyway, that's how you do it. It was a real arm wrestle for most of the first half. Croker bombing a certain try that could have seen the Raiders up 12-0, I think. But just before halftime, an incredible cutout ball from Luai to a flying Burton saw the Panthers go up 12-6. But they weren't done yet for the first half. Another try by Luai, doing it all himself this time, right on the halftime siren. Saw them go into the sheds up 18-6, and they just had too much for the Raiders in the second half.
The game could have been a bit different if it were not for a swinging arm from the inside-out Ugg boot, Viliami Kikau, to the head of Charles Nickel Rockstar. The star Canberra fullback failed his head injury assessment, which would have led to the inside-out Ugg boot getting 10 in the bin ordinarily. And
he does look like an inside-out Ugg boot.
Every time it rains, I go, geez, I bet you that smells. And so the Green Machine was left with a limited bench, which shuffled Rocks and Diamonds' Jordan Rapana to fullback, who was barely adequate at the back, making four costly errors and finishing giving away a penalty whilst playing the ball.
Yeah, but Ricky, you'd expect him to blow up in the press conference. It went for 2.5 minutes. But
jeez,
he said Rapana was great at the back there and he tried hard all night and had a great game. I don't know what's going on there.
Good judge. But he needs to get back up in the grandstand. He's seeing things badly from down the ground level.
He's at ground level and the trainer's sitting right in front of him. He didn't see any of that.
His trainer's last name is Rapana, by the way.
I don't know. Why wasn't the inside-out Ugg boot binned for that?
I really don't know.
That rule, I've said this a couple of times this year, is too inconsistent for me. But the Panthers, they just keep marching on and they're winning in such a gracious manner, former.
Oh, yeah, they're a lovable bunch.
Aren't they? When Crichton grabbed Tapine after the Panthers scored,
carried on
like an absolute pork chop.
Yeah.
You just wanted to see Tapine punch his face in. And
Must have been tempted at some stage to go, fuck it, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Mate, with it being a tribute round to Tommy Radonikis, all bets should have been off this
yeah,
week.
That's right.
You get patted on the head, you can punch the shit out of them. Are they too cocky? Am I making too much of it? Did it cost them last year? Will it cost them again? Or is this a fantastic team running riot and let the boys do what they want?
Why can't we have both? Yeah. I watched them the other night. Don't get me wrong, please. They are a fantastic team.
They sure are.
They are a good team.
Yep.
And I looked at the draw. I don't know when they're going to get beaten. I honestly don't.
Yeah.
There's one game, and I said this in a chat you were in, that I think could be a danger game, and you're probably going to think I'm a fucking stupid for saying this, but
I think of you like that for so many reasons.
Maybe because of this.
No, this isn't the tipping point.
I reckon they might, or the danger game for them might be against Cronulla. Only because Cronulla...
When you say Cronulla, do you mean Parramatta?
No.
Okay.
Only because Cronulla get teams down into the mud and drag them into them where they like to play them. Everyone else tries to play Penrith ball against Penrith, and I'm telling you now, you won't beat them.
Yeah, I thought Canberra would have put up a bit more of a fight. For 30 minutes, they did.
Well, they did, mate, yeah.
But then they just got blown away.
And I'm glad you said fight, because styles make fights. It's an old saying. And if Cronulla can get Penrith to play, I don't like to say this in the wrong way, at their level,
yep,
they're a sniff.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Morris, it doesn't matter. He's gone.
Yeah.
Saturday, and the Gold Coast Titans were far too good for a patched-up reserve-grade side from Newcastle, winning 42 points to 16. The Titans hammered the injury-ravaged Knights up there at Bang Bus Super Stadium, cruising home to a 26-point win. The loss for the Knights wouldn't have been a surprise to too many outside of coach Adam O'Brien, who absolutely went Burko at halftime after his team had 16 missed tackles and allowed the Gold Coast to score at will. By full time, it was clear O'Brien's rant didn't have much of an effect, with his side finishing with a total of 28 missed tackles and 10 errors.
Well, this happens to clubs after they play the West Tigers. They get bashed up and they come out and dish up this crap. The Titans scored in the first 2 minutes, and the writing was already on the wall for the Knights. They just didn't have a go in defence all day, and their day was pretty much summed up when Fifita took a tap from 10 metres out from a set defensive line, and he just barged over the line. Mm. It was some woeful defence from Newcastle.
Saying that, David Fifita ran at me like that, I'd probably curl up in a ball and say, off your trot.
Yeah, I'll just run the other way.
It's just there, bro.
Hand in me jersey. I'm done. But as you said, whatever spray O'Brien gave them at halftime, it didn't work. They dished up the same shit in the second half. A good win from the Titans. They absolutely smashed them.
The last time I've seen Adam O'Brien give someone a spray like that was at the races.
Yeah. I think it was Adam O'Brien. I don't know what he looks like.
You know who I am. The Titans forward.
I said that on SEN as well. They're like, nah, he's good for them up there. I'm like, whatever. Piss off.
The Titans forward pack are about as good as any other in the comp, Sid. Last week, we sang the praises of Tino Fasua Malawi.
Well done.
But in this game, it was the return to form of David Fifita that left everyone impressed. The big bloke scored a hat-trick of tries. Forwards don't score hat-tricks
real
often. Finished with 150 running metres, 7 tackle busts, 2 offloads, 3 line breaks and 20 tackles to go with his 3 four-pointers. His form has gone to another level in 2021, leaving everyone impressed, outside of those back at the Broncos who allowed him to leave for the Titans at the end of last year.
Yeah, he was enormous in this one.
No, same sort.
This is the first grade playing for Feeder, not the other one. The double goose step to run past Ponga. Have you ever seen a forward do that? That was fantastic. It was a thing of beauty. That was for his third try. He was just on fire by then. But it was a great team effort from the Titans. The fortunate son, Fogarty, Brimson A, and Herbert were all good in this one, as was Corey Thompson. He's like that dude
Corey
in the...
Corey Thompson went enormous the other day.
He's like the dude in the first story. He's growing a third leg going up there. He's played well the past few weeks, but it was a fantastic all-round performance from the Titans that sees them with 3 wins from 5 games and in 7th position on the ladder.
The second game on Saturday saw the Bulldogs. Well, they were in it until kickoff when the Storm beat them 52 points to 18. The Bulldogs began the game, Sid, at 13-1 outsiders with Bluebet, getting a 28.5-point start in the kick. And those odds looked pretty skinny within the first 17 minutes as the Storm crossed 3 times to lead 18 points to nil. But then something weird happened, Sid. Yeah. Like Halley's Comet swinging by, a rare try from the Bulldogs through Pommy forward Luke Thompson gave the Doggies fans something to celebrate in 2021. And while they were never going to win the game, scoring 3 tries against the Storm was totally unexpected. And despite finishing 34 points behind Melbourne in a 9-3 shellacking, it felt as though the Doggies might have turned a bit of a corner in this game.
Yeah, they've turned the corner from Shit Street to Turd Avenue. They're no good, man. I know you think that they're going to come good. They'll eventually come good because they're so bad. But the tries that they conceded were just too easy. You and I predicted what the for and against would be in the 2 Bulldogs games.
Oh, that's right.
Against Souths last week and the Storm this week. Let me just refresh everyone's memories. You said it would be 74-3 with a 1-point field goal and probably a 2-point field goal. I said 82 points to 6.
I bet 3 tries.
Oh, I'm sure you did, yeah. I said 82 points to 6. It was even worse than that. 90-18 in the past 2 matches. And then the preceding 2 matches, they didn't score a point. The whole season, it's been 174 points against to 34-4. The Dogs are an absolute rabble.
Yeah, well, in the 35th minute of this game, there was a melee sparked... A melee sparked
an old-fashioned AFL melee.
Donnybrook sparked by Cameron Munster, proving he still has a bit of a dickhead left in him, by patting the head of Bulldogs prop off a hickey Ogden after the Storm scored a try. Ogden wasn't going to cop that and shoved him to the ground before
good.
Kenny Bromwich wrestled the Bulldogs' big man to the ground himself. Asafa Solomona, who had been congratulating Kamakamika, then appeared to come in with a swinging arm and jabbed Ogden while Storm players were lying over the top of him. Both players were sent to the bin and referee Chris Sutton gave the pair a good talking to.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did. But if you get...
Wise, the steadying words of Sutton. Former UN negotiator.
Yes, sir. No, sir. When Chris Sutton speaks, everyone listens. But again, if you get...
Chris Sutton speaks, not even Chris Sutton listens.
If you get a pat on a head, on your head, you should be allowed to punch on with no repercussions.
Widen the shoulders and just go to town.
Ned Philanders, if you're listening, and I know you do listen.
New rule.
You love new rules. Bring this one in. It will be an absolute winner. If you carry on like a pork chop, pat someone on the head, you're allowed to get smashed in the face.
The final game on Saturday, and I don't know how this happened, but the Roosters beat the Sharkies 26 points to 18. Up until Saturday night, in the previous 12 times the Sharks had faced a top 8 side, they'd been unsuccessful, Sid.
Yeah.
Well, you can chalk up number 13 after a masterclass from 2-game veteran Sam Walker, who single-handedly set up 2 tries and scored one of his own to lead his side to one of the best come-from-behind victories you'll ever see. They were never in it, even with 20 to go, when the Sharks were up 18 points to 4. Yet they refused to die and scored 22 points in 18 minutes to beat a shell-shocked Cronulla side.
Yeah, look, this has been a criticism of Johnny Cheekbones Morris's coaching career that the Sharkies cannot beat a top 8 side. And so it was again this week, former. The Sharks did everything right against the Roosters, up 18-4 with 20 minutes to go. And coincidentally, when I fell asleep in a drunken coma, but somehow they lost this game. I woke up thinking, hey, this isn't right.
Mate.
The good teams can find a way to win when all looks lost. This was an incredible finish from the Roosters. 22 points in 18 minutes to leave Sharkies fans, especially their coach, shaking their heads.
Mm. Well, with 20 minutes to go, sorry, within 20 minutes, the Sharks had lost Wade Graham to a HIA. But the Roosters matched that when they lost a hooker, Freddie Lussick. It placed the Roosters without a hooker after Jake Friend's retirement during the week, and Sam Verrills, who was the next best hooker at the club, won't be due back from a knee injury until around round eight at the earliest. Add to that, rookie Ben Marchke could be out for a bit after he was placed on report for a crusher tackle. Victor Radley, who's filled in at hooker in the past, has had some success, but he's only just returned from a long-term injury himself, so the chances of him being able to play out full 80 minutes in a physically demanding position like hooker remains to be seen.
Yeah, they're down to their seventh string hooker, which sounds terrible until you realise no other club has seven first-grade quality hookers. Manly, for example, started the season having none at all. But what a finish to the game it was. Sam Walker setting up two tries, scoring one himself in only his second NRL game to get the Roosters out of trouble. And you caused a bit of a stir, former. On Twitter. You congratulated the Walker family, especially full credit to the boy's very own Chris Walker for young Sam Walker's cracking game this week.
Why is that a ruckus?
Well, some people called you out thinking that you thought Chris is Sam's father.
I'm not an idiot.
I know. But the idiots called you out nonetheless.
Do you know how well I know Chris Walker?
Exactly.
And a couple of the nights I've had.
Well, Chris Walker actually bit back at someone that said something. He's like, how many fucking origins are you playing? So like, everyone just calm down. Everyone calm down. It's no big deal.
Didn't he reply at 3:30 in the morning?
He could have.
True to form. Walker's on.
Former Origin great Australian player and reserve grade player for renown this year and last year. Hasn't pulled on the jersey yet, but committed to it at our drunken live show.
Sunday. And the Cowboys beat the Tigers 34 points to 30.
Yeah.
It was an afternoon of high emotion, Sid, at the eighth wonder of the world. As the fans stood, mostly silent, and I say mostly because there's always one fuckhead who just wants to yell out during a minute's silence.
Yeah, it was a Cowboys supporter, I'm sure.
I think it was Madge McGuire. Lift! Fucking lift! We haven't kicked off yet. It was an afternoon of high emotion at the eighth wonder of the world as the fans stood, mostly silent, to honour the passing of Tony Radonikis before the kickoff, and then stood and applauded at the seventh minute in honour of the great man, much as we did tonight. We played some applause at the seventh minute.
At exactly the seventh minute, and this is season 7, episode 7. That's why we did that.
However, nothing was more powerful than the home crowd standing and booing the Tigers as they left the field at halftime after they were absolutely ambushed by the Cowboys in the first half, ending the first 40 minutes down 28 points to 6. After coach Michael Maguire went absolutely nuclear at halftime, the Tigers came out and scored three tries in a row and had a fourth disallowed. Only for the North Queensland team to go up and score one of their own in the next set of six to put West Tigers out of the game. The game might have ended in a 4-point loss by the Tigers, but on such an important day against such meagre opposition, the result spoke volumes about where the club are in 2021.
Yeah, I was devastated. I had a few tears. I've been a Wests fan my whole life, and there has been some low points in that time. 1983, we got kicked out of the comp. We won wooden spoons all through the 80s. And our last 2 years, 98 and 99, we won the spoon. We were a terrible team back then. But I have to say, this week was the hardest game to sit through ever. A sunny Sunday afternoon, a packed Leichhardt, playing a team that hadn't won a game until this point. We played them into form.
They had a coach that lost his mind 5 weeks in a row. Five weeks in a row.
Like, players pulled out because they just didn't feel like playing.
Yeah. Josh Maguire lost his mind at the club and told them they were a bunch of losers. He was told to go. They're not playing Talmalolo. He was injured.
That's right. And on top of all
Michael Morgan retired.
It was do it for Tommy game. And at halftime, we were down 28-6.
Disgusting!
I'm glad that they got booed off at halftime.
I know there's a lot of blowback about that as well, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. But if you're a fan and you see, especially a fan that goes to every game, pays their membership, buys the jersey, buys the whole lot. And
mate, you buy a ticket to a game, it is your God-given right to hurl abuse at whoever you feel like.
Yeah, well, apparently
and they deserved
not.
It.
They were absolutely disgusting. If you dare to believe...
It was.
Disgusting!
...that we're being too hard on the Tigers after Sunday's loss. Have a listen to some of these stats.
Yep.
The Tigers had 60% of possession.
Yep.
64% of the game was played in the Cowboys' half.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys made 50 more tackles than the Tigers.
Yep.
The Cowboys also missed 31 tackles to the Tigers' 10.
Yep.
Yet errors were 12 apiece.
Yep.
And somehow the Cowboys led for the entire game, Sid. There are probably three players who could hold their heads high for the Tigers on the weekend. The captain was pretty solid.
Yeah.
The fullback is, again...
Oh, he's a gun.
He's a gun. And Dewey.
Yeah.
Every other player was largely ineffective or stealing oxygen. It's time we started to clear the joint out, Sid. Get rid of the Cleary signings. Get rid of the blokes who are allowed to leave their last clubs without a fight, like BJ and Jimmy the Ultralight. Start again. Build around the blokes who are showing some real potential, like Laurie, Talau, Dewey, Luciano, and Tamau. Otherwise, we'll go another decade where seasons where we run ninth are seen as a pass mark.
Yeah, I could not agree more. There was absolutely no fight in that team this weekend. The Cows tries, look, they were from kicks or from a bit of luck or a bit of great skill. But you've got to think, after that first try that was amazing, but it had a bit of luck in it, it's okay. Regroup,
bounce
back.
Don't put your head down.
Nah, muscle up in defense and have a go and things will turn. They absolutely gave up in that first half and the Cowboys ran riot. Even with that disallowed try, we then conceded a try 100 metres down the field in the next set of six. There is no fight in this team. I felt compelled to write another song for me. Listen to this. It's only a short song, but it sums up how I feel about this team.
It went longer than their effort.
I'm going for the Swans now.
Love the Swans.
Yeah.
The final game on...
Go Bunny Franklin.
On Sunday. Saw the... I think it's Benjamin Franklin.
My bad.
Parramatta Eels went down to the high-flying St. George Illawarra Dragons. No shame in this.
No.
Going down 26 points to 12. Tattoo parlors in the Cogra area have been doing 24-hour shifts as they rip out dodgy dragon tat after dodgy dragon tat after the Dragons won their fourth game on the trot. It was quite the ambush as St. George Illawarra's goal line and scramble defence was outstanding as they displayed line speed and aggression from the get-go, shocking the Eels and mounting an 18-points-to-nil halftime lead. They withstood a short-lived comeback from the Eels in the second half to shut the home team out of the game and once again proved footy pundits Sid Punts and former legend correct in their pre-season predictions that the Dragons would be a top-four force all year.
We knew that this was going to happen. The Dragons are on fire. And they absolutely ambushed the Eels at Wankbest Stadium this week. Incredible scenes. Tries to Bird. Then this guy. Then this guy. Then this guy again. Saw them run out winners 26 points to 12. This game had everything. Sin bins, disallowed tries. Tries that were allowed that probably shouldn't have been. A penalty try and a great win from the in-form Dragons. Four in a row. I knew they had it in informer.
Well, speaking of that penalty try, Matt Dufty was the beneficiary of what would... would say was a bullshit penalty try.
Do you reckon?
But the... Oh, mate, I'm dodgy on it. But the little man at the back finished with some big stats. Dufty finished with 112 metres, two tackle busts, one line break, two line break assists, two try assists, and two tries to go with his penalty try. Off contract at the end of the year, Sid, the wee man famously said, "I'm off contract, so I'm going to have a big year," encouraging any prospective employees, or employers, I should say, to give him, I don't know, 6-week contract.
It was a great game from the Duff man, and he was rewarded with zero Dally M points by Judge Luke Lewis, who awarded the 3-2-1 to Paul Vaughan, Adam Clune, and Ravalawa. The Dally M's are a joke, but anyway... Adam Dewey got 2 points in the Tigers game when we got absolutely slaughtered. I rest my case, Your Honour. The Dally M's are a joke.
NRL news, and we start with some breaking news as reported by James Hooper. So this is true. Sharks players have just been sent a text message informing them that coach John Morris, the Beautiful Eyes, has been removed effective immediately. The decision brings to an end a tumultuous 48 hours for Cronulla as the club attempts to plot a course towards becoming a top four organisation, writes James Hooper at Fox Sports. The text message simply said Morris was no longer the coach and to report to training as usual on Thursday, not Wednesday. It comes as the club confirms the signing of Roosters assistant Craig Fitzgibbon on a 3-year deal from 2022. In a statement released by the Sharks on Tuesday night, it was confirmed that Morris will no longer be a coach. Assistant coach Josh Hannay will step up into the interim role for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, this is unbelievable from the Sharks board. It was only this morning on SEN 1170 AM mono radio station that Chris Orr.
How good is mono?
Chris Orr.
Non-confusing, just coming from one speaker. And if you got one of your headphones out, it doesn't matter because it's coming through the other one. Fine.
Chris Orr got on there, who's, I think, Morris's manager, saying that he met with the Sharks board. Who's on the board there? Sharks chief Dino Metadata, I think his name is. He confirmed that Fitzgibbon has not signed with the Sharks and... Well, that's all out the window. That was all bullshit. Mm. He's now been sacked this afternoon.
Why bother denying that? Like, if it's the job's done, and sure, he mightn't have signed, but you sound like a knob nut when you do that shit. Why not just say, I've got nothing to say?
It's 12 hours later. Like, the Brent Reed said that, contrary to what Metadata was saying, that this will be done by the weekend, but it's not 12 hours later, and it's happened, and they've sacked him.
Yeah, strange. I feel sorry for John Morris. I mean,
I feel like John Morris would have said, well, you know what? I'm not continuing, but I'm not going to quit. You pay me out. Sack me. Yeah. They're like, ta-da.
See you around.
Josh Hannay's waiting here.
Yeah, he might slip. John Morris might slip straight into where Craig Fitzgibbon's coming from by the beginning of next year.
Yeah.
He might be the assistant with Trent Robinson. Brad Walter from NRL.com writes that persistent shoulder injuries, the last of which was sustained in North Queensland round two match against St. George Illawarra this year, has forced Michael Morgan to announce his retirement on Friday. He's considered one of the Cowboys' greatest players after playing a leading role in the historic 2015 Premiership win and steering the club to the 2017 Grand Final in the absence of injured superstar Jonathan Thurston. He also played 12 Origins for Queensland and 12 Tests for Australia, including the 2017 World Cup Final triumph against England.
Yeah, fantastic career. It's a shame that he had to go out in these circumstances. Be interesting to see the direction that Rodney Payton and the Cows go now with their halves, with talk of Adam Reynolds, who's a great player former.
What a good player.
And Fivehead Brooks. Let's talk the pair of them might go up there in a package deal. Let's hope that at least one of them goes up there.
If he wants to put all his stuff in the back of my car, no dramas.
Not that I care anymore what they do at West Tigers. They can fuck off.
Former Melbourne Storm captain Cameron Smith, old Devonhead, has taken a cheeky dig at Sydney while speaking at a lunch on Friday. Appearing at Melbourne Victory's business lunch, sorry I missed that, Smith said his team thoroughly deserved their premierships despite having two stripped over a salary cap cheating scandal.
He's just so likeable.
We trained harder and wanted it more, he said in Vision shown on Channel 9. They're still premierships to me. I still have my premiership rings at home. I have them on every now and then. They're mine. I've got five. Barb's even got one.
Yeah. It was bizarre. It was a bit like Lance Armstrong posing with all these Tour de France yellow jerseys. Cam still considers the 2007 and 2009 premierships as legit. But I was actually at this book launch. Here's a bit of my interview with Cameron Smith. Yeah, Devonhead, Sid Punts from Full Credit to the Boys here. Great book, by the way. Haven't read it. Do you think you will always be remembered for cheating and having more premierships stripped from you than Cronulla have ever won?
We trained harder and we wanted it more. And, you know, it's...
You also got paid more. You got more boats, caravans, and Harvey Norman vouchers. You cheated. And you seriously can't count 2007 and 2009 as premierships.
Yeah, they're still premierships to me. I still got the premiership rings at home and put them on every now and again.
You and Barb compare rings. You've got three. She's got one. You can't claim the other two, though.
They're mine, mate. They're mine. I got five.
Yeah, well, you haven't got five. You got three. But anyway, you've also got a bronze statue. Did you like how we got someone to go and put a slice of Devon on the back of its head?
As I just think, well, you know, that's born out of jealousy. Stick that up your Sydney.
Yeah. Oh, he knows my name.
Full credit to the boys.
We know his. Devon it. Latrell Mitchell has lived every young footballer's dream of buying his parents their dream home. Mitchell celebrated his reported $1.8 million purchase of a country New South Wales estate this week with an Instagram post that showed his parents grinning from ear to ear at the front of a sold real estate sign at the front of their new property. Just days after the 23-year-old starred in South Sydney's clinical win over the Broncos, Mitchell posted a picture captured in Taree on the mid-north coast celebrating the family's special day with mum Patricia and dad Matt.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see. It's great when players can do this. It also gives Latrell and his mate Addo Carr somewhere to go ride motorbikes and shoot guns whenever they please. Nah, it's fantastic stuff. I knew he'd be a great success at fullback at South Sydney, and he has proven me correct yet again.
West Tigers reportedly changed
changed
their tune on embattled halfback Luke Brooks, and the club is said to be looking to move him out of Concord before the end of his contract.
Well, I apologise. I do care about this.
That's what the Sydney Morning Herald believes following Sunday's 34-30 loss to North Queensland at Leichhardt Oval. The Tigers were honouring the memory of rugby league icon Tommy Raudonikis, who passed away during the week, but they put in an insipid performance in the first half The previously winless Cowboys ran riot. Questions have been asked of coach Michael Maguire, but the Herald reports club hierarchy were instead discussing Brooks as the issue following the first 40 minutes on Sunday. Brooks, 26, was once tipped to be an Origin halfback, but he has not played a single finals game in the eight seasons he's essentially been in charge of the Tigers' attack.
Unleashed him this year, though.
He has two more seasons to run on a deal said to be worth $900,000 a year, but the newspaper reports the Tigers will now consider options to push him out of the club so they can bring in someone else.
Yeah, there was a report a day or so after this game, I think it was in the Herald, where up in the stands, everyone was just looking at each other like, what the fuck is this team? Mm. All the important people for West Tigers. And the discussion centered around Madge Maguire, and everyone said, no, he's a keeper. We need to start looking at some of these blokes. Like you alluded to earlier, some of these guys are dead set imposters. Get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory.
It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL. The Sydney Swans remain undefeated when they beat the Essendon Growth Hormones by 3 points. While the GWS Giants, the AFL's $100 million investment, got their first win of the year when they beat the team best known for historic systemic racism, the Collingwood Doves, by 5 goals.
Yeah, it was a great week for the Sydney teams, especially the Swannies, my favourite team in all of sport, in all of the world. No one really cares about the Giants, but it was good to see them smash Collingwood, I guess. Much like most people, I didn't watch that game.
Cricket, # talk other games down. England is shaking things up with its new domestic competition. The 100... And the changes,
God, here we go again.
The changes keep coming. The tournament, which even goes further than T20 by limiting teams to just 100 balls per innings, will change the name of wickets to outs in a bid to simplify the sport's terminology and attract new fans, as reported by the UK publication The Telegraph.
Piss off.
It's a revolution that's too tough to digest for some cricket traditionalists
like
who may already be sceptical about the radical overhaul to establish rules for the tournament's inaugural edition later this year. Former Australian star Brad Hodge gave a blunt appraisal on Twitter. This is shit,
yes,
he said. Sports writer Glenn Moore added, as a lifelong cricket fan, I think the idea of calling wickets outs for the 100 is patronising and dumb, but does it make cricket more accessible?
I don't care. Cricket's cricket.
It's not more accessible.
But it's not even mathematically correct. 100 balls divided by 6? Yeah, the fuck are they doing?
How's that going to work?
I don't know. I've got to get my calculator out, but there's an over that goes for about 8 balls or an over that goes for 3 balls. I'm not sure. Probably not 3.
Golf. Hideki Matsuyama has become the first male Japanese player to win a major after surviving a major blunder to claim the 2021 Masters and the highly coveted green jacket. He started the final round with a four-shot lead over the chasing quartet and recovered from an opening hole bogey with birdies on the second, eighth and ninth to stretch his lead to five shots. US Open winner Andy North said a Matsuyama... Andy North, I much prefer his brother Peter's work, said a Matsuyama win would change golf in Japan. I can't even imagine how much money this would mean to him besides, sure, being the king of Japan. This is not a crazy person talking, but I think a win here could be worth a billion dollars
to him,
said Peter North. This is his brother Andy.
Who is Peter North? I'm pretty... Oh,
Google it.
Yeah, he played on the wing for the Bears, I think.
No.
Not sure.
No.
Anyway.
He was stiff to beat.
He's in the back line.
I think he's very easy to beat, just looking at him.
But anyway, this is fantastic for Japan. They're getting dudded with the Olympics, so at least this fella came out.
That's a good point.
And it's been amazing, the coverage that it's got, with his caddy stealing the flag. People... just glossed over that. He stole the 18th hole flag. He put the stick back in.
Course.
Yeah, and then he bowed and everyone's like, oh, this is awesome. And it was.
Golf.
Good on him.
Questions about the path of Rory McIlroy's career at major tournaments will continue to grow after yet another disappointment at the one major that still eludes him. McIlroy will not play the weekend at the Masters, having compounded his round 176 with a 2-over par 74 on Friday.
Still better than what I shot at Royal Hurstville the other day.
His 6-over finish to the tournament saw him miss the cut by 3 strokes. He probably could have packed up after day one when he stood under the tall pines down the left side of the number 7 fairway at Augusta National. He lasered in a safe spot to land his second shot. McIlroy found what he thought was the perfect target, an older man in a white shirt with blue shorts. Unfortunately for McIlroy's father, Jerry, he hit the ball right where he wanted at the old man, who happened to be Jerry, and it just a little too far, and it didn't play any slice, and the wayward shot struck his father in the back of the leg as he walked to the green.
This was fantastic. What are the chances of hitting your old man in the gallery? And there wasn't a big gallery. He was just aiming at that one old man and clocked him. His caddy said, I think you just hit your old man. He's like, yeah, I think so. But what a jerk his old man is.
Yeah.
He could have at least kicked the ball out into the middle of the fairway.
Picked it up and threw it on the green.
Yeah, like I did at Royal Hurstville the other day on every hole. All their greens are just covered in sand, and there's four temporary greens. After 9 holes, I had 9 schooners and gave up.
Boxing. Aussie boxing sensation Ebony Bridges kept her promise by weighing in wearing sexy lingerie for her world title fight with England's Shannon Courtney.
Surprise, surprise, I saw this.
Typically, the English girl wore tracksuit pants, I kid you not, and bad teeth.
Had bad teeth.
The Sydney school teacher
faced
Courtney for the vacant WBA bantamweight world title on Sunday morning as a main event fight on the undercard of Conor Benn's battle with Samuel Vargas. Despite the very real world title on the line, much of the feud between the two challengers, Ebony Bridges and Shannon Courtney, has been about her wearing her underwear.
Yeah.
Bridges, 34, enjoys weighing in wearing lingerie, and so do I, and believes embracing her femininity, so do I.
Do you like her wearing it? Or you like wearing it as well for your weigh-ins?
Either or. A little from column A, a little from column B. And it will help bring more eyeballs, I'll say, to women's boxing, The Sun reports. The fight went on and Bridges got her ass handed to her
with
Shannon Courtney bashing her from one end of the ring to the other.
Yeah.
Which is exactly... doesn't matter. You know the rest.
Before the fight, she was wearing a lingerie at the weigh-in, telling everyone, excuse me, my eyes are up here. But no one wanted to look at her eyes. She looked hot in this lingerie. But after the fight, she got bashed up and she said, my eyes are up here and also over here. Her left eye looked like a soccer ball. So they tell me, I still wasn't looking up there.
She actually said, because she got pumped.
Oh, she got bashed.
And she said, my eyes are actually bigger than my boobs. On closer inspection, no, they weren't.
Go to bed.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, bucks or hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made T-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mayorinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mayor Inc. has you covered.
Go to mayorinc.com.au. Go to mayorinc.com.au.
All right, Sid, we debuted a segment a couple of weeks ago. And
it was very popular.
It was very popular, including one person who prefers to remain nameless and anonymous.
Okay.
Who has promised me some exclusive tapes.
Oh, yeah. We've got one.
Well, I won't even say where they're from, but this person who is pretty high profile says, I do not want to be named or associated with what I'm going to send you, but if you want something for Has It Aged Well, just check your mailbox in a couple of weeks. Now, in the meantime, we thought we might do this again, Has It Aged Well, but this week it's music and some of the songs that have they or haven't they not aged well?
No.
Has it aged well? Has it aged well? Has it aged well? No.
Yeah, Has It Aged Well, the music edition, Sid.
This has been a rabbit hole that we didn't know that we didn't want to go down.
Well, we thought we'd go back in time. A few of these are from 60-odd years ago.
Sure.
Some of them not that long ago. But yep. Let's start with everyone's mum's favourite singer, Rod Stewart.
It is my mum's favourite singer.
And let's listen to Tonight's the Night.
Don't say a word, my virgin child. Spread your wings and let me come inside, 'cause tonight's the night.
Yeah, don't say a word, my virgin child, if you know what's good for you. Listen, Rod.
It was a smash hit at the time, wasn't it?
Well, Sid, I've got to ask you the question.
Has it aged well?
No.
Really?
Not so well, no. It was a simpler time, but no, I don't even know when that would ever be good.
Some would say it were a better time, but not us, obviously.
No.
But some would.
What else have we got?
Well, I mean, the Boss. You know the Boss is a
Bruce Springsteen, safe the Boss.
Safe pair of hands, obviously.
He's a legend.
I don't think he would have sung anything that's out of line or wouldn't conform to today's acceptances.
Yeah.
So listen to Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, sing Fire.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire.
I don't know where to start and end with that one. I mean, he starts off asking if your daddy's home.
Yeah.
So a little bit pedophilic.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
And then I've got a bad desire, a little bit rapey. And then he ends with I'm on fire, so a little bit STD-ish.
It's not a lot going for that song, so we'll ask again.
Has it aged well?
No.
I totally agree.
Well, Guns N' Roses.
Hey, Gunners are awesome.
Yes, and we hold them in high regard in this studio.
You and I went to their last show. It was fantastic.
We just had a look and they made $547 million from that tour.
Yeah.
It's a good knock.
It is.
One of their earliest songs probably wasn't a hit, I wouldn't think you'd imagine. It comes off the Lies album.
Yeah.
It's called One in a Million.
Cracking song.
Cracking song.
I remember it fondly.
I know you and the guys down at your meetings that you have, that you listen to it quite often. And,
yeah, I never knew it was problematic. What's problematic with this?
Immigrants and faggots, they make no sense to me. They come to our country and think they'll do as they please. Like start so many a rant or spread some fucking disease. They talk so many goddamn ways, it's all Greek to me.
Obviously, yeah. Axel's his stage name, and in politics his name is Bob Catter. And
well, it's all Greek to me. That's an offensive phrase nowadays. Now I get it. I'll take that off my playlist.
I've said I've got to ask you.
Has it aged well?
No.
Really?
It's aged better than Axel. Have you seen him lately?
Well, if you reckon that hasn't aged well, strap yourself in.
What's next?
This is the Crystals.
Oh, wow, yeah.
This is from the 60s. This was a big song in the 60s, actually.
It's a cracking song.
This is called, and let's not fuck around, He Hit Me.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss. He hit me, but it didn't hurt me. He couldn't stand to hear me say that I'd been with someone new. And when I told him I had been untrue, he hit me.
It's got a good bass line.
The word problematic springs to mind, I've got to be honest. There's no point mucking around with that one. And I'm not laughing at the lyrics.
No.
I'm laughing at the obscenity.
When we saw it was called He Hit Me.
I thought, what could that be about?
Yeah, it's exactly what it was about. So, former, I'll ask you.
Has it aged well?
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's get this back on track. I mean, there's got to be one here that hasn't aged badly.
Yeah.
This next song is from probably the best Beatle.
Yep.
Ringo. As I said about Ringo Starr, when they said to John Lennon, is Ringo Starr the best drummer in the world? He says he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Hey, boys, I wrote a song. Yeah, yeah, cool. We'll put it on the fridge here.
Anyway, he did a...
Yeah, this is a cover. He didn't even write this. He should have steered well clear of it. They can't even blame you until you did a cover of it, you idiot.
It's like you're saying, I don't mind that. This is You're 16. Oh, geez.
Here it is.
You come on like a dream. Peaches and cream. Lips like strawberry wine. You're 16. You're beautiful. And you're mine.
Puts a new spin on Thomas the Tank Engine, doesn't it?
That's no good, that one. It needs more cowbell. And from a drummer, you'd expect more percussion in it. That's my criticism of that song.
Well, take away the music side of things.
Oh, okay.
Listen to the lyrics in and I ask you one thing.
Has it aged well?
No. Shocking from Ringo, you dirty dog.
We're going to play a song next. It's on every wedding.
Yeah.
It's a real floor filler, I believe you'd say.
We Googled what are the most offensive songs that would be inappropriate nowadays, and four of them appear in SKP's song list that we are still playing nowadays. But there's some that we didn't realise, and this is one that we didn't realise till our singer's like, mate, I don't want to sing this. So like, shut up. It sounds good. He's like, nah, the lyrics are no good. I'm like, don't worry about it. And he persisted. We're like, what are you whinging about? This is what he was whinging about. Have a listen to this song.
Want to break that down for everyone, Sid?
Yeah, what Camos was complaining about is the lyrics are...
He can whinge, that bloke.
I always get it up from the touch of the younger kind. Who knew that that's what he said? That's disgusting. Anyway, I ask you this, former.
Has it aged well?
No.
No.
Well, let's move forward a long way into the future.
Okay.
A little bit of, I don't know, what? It's not rap, it's not R&B. What is it?
Yeah, it's a cracking song from what I remember.
A real floor filler again.
Yeah, Funky Cold Medina.
Have a listen to this and see whether you can see there's a problem in this song.
I went out to this girl. She said, hi, my name is Sheena. I thought she'd be good to go with a little funky cold Medina. She said, I'd like a drink. I said, okay, I'll go get it. And then a couple of sips, she gon' lick the lips, and I knew that she was with it. So I took her to my crib, and everything went well as planned. But when she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man. So I threw her out. I don't fool around with no Oscar Mayer wiener. You must be sure that your girl is pure for the funky cold Medina.
It's a song about slipping things into people's drinks. And obviously, yeah. if you're on the Fair Star, you could probably get away with that sort of thing. But
this song's got everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. He's put it in front of a man who was a woman or a woman who was a man or something.
And yeah.
He's covered off on that as well. So
yeah, he got a shock and bashed the said person after he just attempted to date rape them. It's got everything. I used to love that song. I used to carve up dollar drinks at the roundabout rehearsal to this song, thinking I was king shit.
Well,
it's no
ask
good.
You, in 2021, Sid.
Has it aged well?
Nope.
Well,
not at all.
One more. We're 7 from 7. Surely we can find one song that. Now, when I say this, you're going to say, oh, you're joking, but
yeah.
just give it a chance. I mean, you're 7 from 7. You've already, you know, you've cancelled a lot of things already.
Yeah, I've cancelled all of them. And I'm not about cancelling people.
No. But
what do you got for the last one?
This is a song that was.
This one's a surprise to me.
It was big on TV, it was big on radio at the time.
Okay.
It's called Two Little Boys. It's by a guy called Rolf Harris.
Two little boys had two little toys.
No.
Has it aged well? Has it aged well? Has it aged well?
No.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, it's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror. With thanks to the best electrical company in all of Australia. Don't worry about all of North New South Wales. NDF Electrical.
How good is it when we do a segment like Has It Aged Well in between ads from two of our major sponsors? Thanks, guys.
I'm really sorry.
It makes me laugh every time.
We haven't thought that through.
Yeah, no, I thought it through. I think it's hilarious.
NDF Electrical, thank you very much to them for sponsoring this segment, the best segment on all of podcasting.
100%.
It's Grab a Mirror. Don't forget you can reply to my initial tweet around 7:30 on a Tuesday. Use the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. I punch out another one around 3:30, 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30. Sometimes I get wild.
Yeah.
And same thing, use the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. Sid.
Yes.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah, go first.
Grab a Mirror, full credit to the boys' live shows.
Hey, they're the best.
Now, this is going to be a long bow I'm drawing here.
Okay.
But
I'll get comfy.
Bear with me.
Okay.
I do all my shopping, not at IGA Oatley, because I don't live near IGA Oatley. I do it at the local Woolworths.
Boom.
Where I've... good people, the fresh food people.
You're throwing money away, my friend. Throwing money away.
When I say fresh food people, food that gets frozen and brought back on the shelves, but whatever. This apple's very cold in the middle. It's been frozen 3 days ago. Anyway, Grab a Mirror, full crew of the boys' live show. I go down and I do my shopping down at my local Woolworths.
Yep.
And I've actually got a bit of a rapport there to the point where on Wednesdays, I get down there, and even if there's no chooks there, I go to the lady behind the counter at the deli, mysteriously, oh, here's a chook performer.
Your favourite.
So, anyway, I'm pretty well known down there, and I have a yarn to them all, and whatever. Now, that's one part of this story.
Okay.
The second part.
It's not a very good part of the story, but
the
keep
last
going.
Live show we did,
yeah.
We featured Mike Whitney and Wayne Pearce, and
yes.
It was at Mortdale RSL. And of course, next show is also at Mortdale RSL, 25 Macquarie Place, Mortdale, New South Wales 2223. This time we're going to have Spud Carroll and Bill Hollywood Harrigan, $100 a ticket. events.humanitix.com/fullcredittotheboys live show.
Yeah, I'll just go to our website, fullcreditpodcast.com.
Yeah, you'll have a cracking day. As we always have, we've had some really good guests.
And oh, yeah.
We haven't had a bad time at any of them, have
nope.
we? Nope. Stand out for you, Sid? Stand out guests?
Oh, the Sowie and Gowie show was fantastic.
That was a good day.
It was a good day. And all of them have been good for different reasons.
Yeah, we haven't had a bad one. Neil Breen was a cracking addition to
everyone
our lineups.
Loved him.
Yep, but anyway, I'll get back to our last live show.
Wits and Pierce.
Wits and Pierce. Now, we do a lot of preparation, stuff that you will never see on our social media. We do videos. We make all sorts of stuff. We do lots of jokes. And we also do stuff at the shows. Because there's no phones, we can really let our hair down,
yep.
mine especially. And we can say basically whatever we want and not have any worries about people coming back on us and trying to cancel us like Rolf Harris has been. Last show, I had a gag that I actually let Singo in on. Singo's our tech guy, and said, check this out, Singo. And we had a, because it was at the end of COVID, well, not the end, I know it's not over, but the loosening up of the COVID rules, I was going to wear a mask out on stage.
Yes.
Now, underneath the mask, I'd went and bought a gag ball that I was going to take my mask off, big surprise, gag ball in my mouth, and go, what? Showed Singo. He loved it for his own reasons, obviously, but whatever.
He offered you four different options in the gag ball.
Because you're not using it right. Here, come here. But anyway, it was going to be a great visual joke.
Yep.
As it was, I bloody forgot to do it.
Yeah.
Now, when we go to these live shows, I take heaps of bags of shit and there's always props and everything else. Fast forward to yesterday, Sid. And I'm in Woolies. And because I'm a tight prick, I like to take my own bags in.
Yeah.
I've gone and got a half a trolley full of shopping. And she said, have you got bags? I said, I sure have. Have I? And I gave her my three shopping bags. And she goes, oh, there's something in this. And I said, oh, what is it? And she pulled out.
This is fantastic.
It's not fantastic. Me chook deal's gone.
They'd love that at IGA, I'm telling you.
And she picked it up and said, is this yours? What do I say to that? So grab a mirror, full crew of the boys live shows, eat a giant dick.
Can't with that in your mouth.
10. At Lambretta GP 1971. Hashtag grab a mirror at biggest faloo. Put him in it, you magnificent bastard. Your description of the old person's Easter egg hunters this last week was so inspiring at Channel 9, put him in it, have decided to show the Bulldogs v Cowboys game on Sunday. Hashtag where's the ball? Hashtag you just dropped it. Hashtag is nil all a good scoreline? Hashtag which way are we running?
9.
At Timbo C Slice. Hashtag grab a mirror, Prince Philip, and have a long, hard think before you tell DMX some of your, in inverted commas, funny jokes at the pearly gates. Hashtag royal comedian.
It's going to be awkward.
8.
At Eels, TCT, the Cumberland Throw. Hashtag grab a mirror, the sick bastards who put together the West Tigers documentary, the NRL equivalent of a snuff film. Straight to DVD for this car crash. Find it in your nearest grief counsellor's waiting room. On an unrelated note, interesting to see Ben Robert Smith sign on as executive producer.
Don't know why the West Tigers would do that. You and I had this discussion, I think, off air. I don't know why they would do it. They've got bigger problems at the moment.
7.
At V_Vandalay. Hashtag grab a mirror, hashtag GAM, Harvey Weinstein, who is now apparently going blind in jail. No prizes for guessing how this has happened. Hashtag too many hand shandies. Hashtag shaking hands with the unemployed. Hashtag mum always told you this would happen. Not only is he going blind, apparently he's also losing his teeth. Here's a tip for you, Harvey. I can close your mouth so you're not getting your face punched out every second day and put that thing away, son.
Apparently he's walking with a limp as well. Sucked in.
6.
At Mr. Barjas.
Bargie.
Grab a mirror, people who still film fights and alleged newsworthy things in portrait rather than landscape. It's 2021, for fuck's sake. Hashtag this also applies to other amateur mage videos too at Pornhub.
5.
At DJ and Goose hates the first part of the show, apparently. Hashtag yeah. Grab a mirror.
But she is a fan of the Duncan McRae.
He loves the, would like to, like the Duncan biscuits. Hashtag grab a mirror, Tyson Frisell. How's your move to the Knights for a premiership looking now? Hashtag April premiers. Hashtag dragon tats.
Jeez, they're good winners, aren't they, Dragons fans?
4.
At Saka Bob. Hashtag grab a mirror, at NRL, put a minute, and change 10 in the bin for punching to exclude hitting fucking smartasses who pat heads, ruffle hair, or get in the face of opposition after an error. Bring back the days when those cowards, backs and halves, wouldn't dare through fear of a right hook. Hashtag Munster and others.
Could not agree more. Could I have a go now?
Yeah, you go.
All right. Former.
Yes.
People from all around the globe listen to this show.
Mm.
And they listen for all different reasons. Some, they love the dick stories at the beginning. Some tune in.
Some not, apparently.
Yeah, some aren't fans of it. Some tune in to hear what happened in the NRL last week. Some tune in for the interviews. And others just like my songs.
I'll move on. Mainly your dad, but whatever.
You know. But there's a whole bunch of people that tune in every week hoping to learn something. And this week, I'm going to oblige.
Former's trivia.
Yeah. Grab a mirror, everyone. It appears we've been using the toilet wrong this whole time, Former.
Hey.
And you know how I know this?
You've been reverse kangaroo, haven't you?
TikTok taught me.
Oh, no.
Here's some TikTok music while I explain.
What you know about rolling down in the
deep. Now, TikTok sensation Amy, whoa, is her handle, says...
Just remind me, how old are you again? Grow up, mate.
You're going to learn something.
I won't.
Amy, whoa, says we should all sit on the dunny backwards when dropping the Cosby kids off at the pool.
Yeah.
She explains...
I don't think you can say that anymore. I think it's just kids at the pool.
Whatever. She explains that you can then use the system to place your iPad, grab some Doritos, a long neck, use it all as a bit of a table, and settle in for some snacks, play some bets if you want, while you lay some cable. Now, some people on TikTok weren't convinced, saying it was very unhygienic, with particles of poop floating around the bathroom. You probably shouldn't eat in there, but I've never gotten sick from the Indian place at Mortdale, so I think that's a myth. Others were impressed, saying they learn more on TikTok than at school. This is why the world's going to shit, but here, millennial, thanks for contributing to the conversation. Have a participation award. But in the name of research, I thought I'd at least try it for a week. It's a little off-putting at first, but I did it Sunday night for the first time. I watched Maths on the can. Had 6 bourbon and cokes and a tray of brownies. It was good. I don't really like Bryce. I find him so fake. I don't know why Melissa stays with him. But the toilet thing was all right too.
Because she's an idiot.
The toilet thing, I didn't quite mind it, but the skitties hit different for me. I got to say, all round I give it a 6 out of 10. And I've already set up the iPad in the ensuite for you tonight, for me. Let me know how you go. I know you don't know what a toilet brush is, but I can assure you it's in there. Thank you, Amy, from TikTok, for that life-changing tip. Grab a mirror, you magnificent bastard, and grab the toilet duck, because your life hack is not entirely foolproof.
Not only that, much like Amy Woe and TikTok and your last grab a mirror, it's given me the shits.
3.
At the real _ Ian Lacey. Hashtag grab a mirror at Mark MG Geyer, pretty minute, for suggesting a player swap with Brooks and Reynolds. For rabbits, that's like swapping your car for a scooter or your dildo for a 2-inch meat twizzler. Hashtag Brooks Unleashed. Hashtag keep the 22 jersey. Hashtag don't kill me, MG.
Yeah, and no, I agree with MG. It'd be a great swap. He's a good player, that Adam Reynolds.
I love it. At Cricket Flog. Now, he's put in a screenshot of a story on News Limit, I think it was, and it says, Prince Harry remembers Cheeky Duke as the master of the barbecue. in heartfelt tribute. And Cricket Vlog wrote, hashtag grab a mirror, Prince Harry, for trolling the royals yet again by saying his grandfather was the master of the barbecue just a few days before Phil gets pushed into one.
Very good. What came hashtag first?
Hashtag well done. Hashtag poor taste. Hashtag I mean Phil, not the joke.
What got number one this week, former?
One.
At biggest faloo. Hashtag grab a mirror of the barber at Port Macquarie who charged me $32 to cut my bald head.
Whoa.
There was less hair on the floor than on the Queen's minge.
She's got a creeper trim now. She's single.
And ready to mingle. Hashtag probs ready for a tidy up too. Now she's back on the market. Hashtag do you think he was murdered? Hashtag another cupper up.
I do now.
Hashtag the family has form. Hashtag Columbo wouldn't fall for this.
Very good.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Well, ordinarily, Sid, we wouldn't get a politician on our show, but we're proud to get this bloke on. He's the head of the Red Bins once a week party up there at Randwick.
A fantastic initiative.
Welcome
what
back.
A platform.
Welcome back from bluebet.com.au. Bet with Bluey, bet Australian, download the app today. Duncan McRae.
Yeah, how are we, former Sid? All the listeners, I hope everyone's well. Yeah, well, you know, it's the growing force, the empty red bin every week party. So I'll be having a website soon and I'll push it out to all the punters.
And are you concerned about Sid's party, more nude beaches?
Oh, well, Sid needs to get on the treadmill first and we'll get to it.
I think it'd be a good coalition, the more nude beaches, the red bins once a week. What a strong
it's
coalition.
A winning combination.
We'd be the Pauline Hanson and Mark Latham. We'd take them head on, I reckon.
Which one are you?
No, I don't know. No, I was going to say something again, but I won't.
Boys, we start on Thursday night and the Broncos, good luck. They're playing the Panthers up there at Fat Horse Stadium. Bluebet have the Broncos at $12, if you don't mind. $1.03, the Panthers, better than bank interest. The handicap is set at 26.5 at $1.90, take your pick. Oh, Dunks, surely not.
Yeah, look, boys, I don't know what to say. Well, you've got to say against the Bunnies last week, Brisbane in that second half of the first half, from probably the 20-minute to the 40-minute, but it was very competitive. And then South got that try to Dane Gagai just for half time that broke their heart. So, look, just that big start, it does interest me. Penrith will win, no doubt. But I've got to have a tickle on something, the Broncos with the plus, boys.
Yeah, I think the Panthers will cover that 26.5. They're unstoppable, and they're just winning so well. They're so polite.
And they're lovable. Jeez, yeah, they're a lovable,
they're
humble side.
They're adorable. Love them.
Yeah, up there at Fat Horse Stadium, I mean, poor old Bucky will not be doing a lap on Thursday night.
No.
And, you can have any odds you want for the Broncos. They will not win. We go to Friday night. The Knights take on the Cronulla Sharks Sutherland up there at RSA Stadium. The Newcastle Knights are $2.05. Injury depleted, obviously. A few coming back. But the Sharks, without a coach, they're $1.78. The handicap's 1.5. Take your pick. Dunks. Poor.
Yeah, boys, what do you say about Johnny Morris? I think he's done a fantastic job. He's not like in the Trent Barrett League or the Des Hasler League at the moment. I'm shocked at this decision. And, you know, I really don't know how they're going to turn up the Sharks this week after their coach getting the bull. Are they going to get behind him or are they going to thumb their nose at management and not play well? So, look, I'm going to tip the Knights at home only because I think the Sharks are really going to thumb their nose at management this week.
Yeah, that's the risk. I don't really like the Knights, but Brent Reed put out an article today saying that this will happen, and it's just been confirmed that they've signed Fitzgibbon. But Brent Reed said it's up to Johnny Morris if he wants to hang around. That's very destabilising for the club, but I think he will hang around and I think the Sharks will just win.
I feel sorry for Johnny Morris. I'm a bit like both of you blokes. I don't know which way to go with this game. It's a toss of the coin. If you're betting in this game, you can bet with someone else's money because I wouldn't touch it. For the record, I'm a bit like you, Dunks. I'll take the Knights, but with absolutely no confidence whatsoever.
I'm tipping a low-scoring game, the unders for me there, boys. I think that's a good bet.
If nothing else, it'll be a low game, that's for sure. the second game on Friday sees the Storm take on the Roosters down there at Rhonda and Catoot Stadium. The Storm are $1.33. The Roosters are $3.35 with Sam Walker, the next immortal. The handicap's at 9.5. Dunks, what do you reckon here?
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Storm, boys. I think they'll win and win easily. I know the Roosters have been playing well. Had a couple of hard games now. Sharks should have put them to bed last week. Back down in Melbourne, I think the Storm are going to come out firing, and I think it's a 13-plus for Storm.
Yeah, the Sharks should have put them to bed, but they didn't. It was good work for the Roosters, hanging in there with so many injuries, but it'll be all too much for them this week. The Storm down there at Rhonda and Catoot for sure.
Yeah, I'll back the Storm. They don't lose too many a year and they've already lost two, so they'll probably go on a bit of a run here for a while. $2.21 if you want the 13-plus with bluebet.com.au. We go to Saturday, Manly Warringah Seagulls, the high-flying. They're taking on the Gold Coast Titans. It's over, where is it? Actually, this is at Kenny Sutcliffe Oval up there at Mudgee. It's $2.65 Manly. It's $1.48 Gold Coast Titans. How many plane trips are they going to get on to get to Mudgee? The handicap's at 6.5. Dunks, are you tempted to go the Seagulls?
No, not at all, boys. I think the Titans are finding their mojo. I think they're learning to play with each other now. With your feet on that edge, I think they'll win and win easily. I'm a big fan of the Titans. I think they'll destroy the Eagles.
Yeah, after his 3-try performance last week, Fifita. The Gold Coast Titans are absolute specials up there at Kenny Sutcliffe Oval.
Yeah, the travel might be a killer. It might slow them down for about the first 10 minutes. Then I think they'll kick in the gear and they'll smoke the
white. Trbojevic is back. He's been named at number one.
Yeah.
That's what they've been waiting on.
If I was Dez, I'd be saving him for next year now. Make sure he gets that performance clause
that out extended of the way. Contract.
Yeah. The second game on Saturday sees the South Sydney Rabbitohs taking on the West Tigers.
South Sydney.
It's $1.11.
Oh, boys, what are we thinking? Tigers supporters, talk to me. What are you thinking?
Mate, I was devastated.
Let me just get through the odds before I tell you.
Who cares?
It's $1.11, the Rabbitohs.
Let's just talk to it last week. What about that decision, you know, with the non-try? That's a try every day of the week. There's no way he was getting into the corner. I reckon it's a different result if that try is given.
Look, I totally agree, but it also would have been a different result that after that try was disallowed, that we actually tried to tackle and didn't let him go 100 metres and make it a 12-point turnaround. We were diabolical. It was disgusting. South's 25-plus.
let me get through the odds, as I said. It's $1.11, the Bunnies. Obviously, this was at Renovators Delight, so it's a neutral stadium. It's $6.50, the Tigers. The handicap's 17.5, $1.90. Take your pick. The Tigers, what can be said? I mean, if they can't play for Tommy, who can they play for? And Dunks, I mean, fair dinkum, I've lost all hope for 2021.
Yeah, well, boys, I'm with you. They're not playing for the coach, boys. It's as simple as that. They're really not playing for the coach. And you know, if any coach should be under pressure, I thought it would be Maguire and myself, boys. So I've got to tip the Bunnies 13-plus here.
Yeah, Leilua's out. Jake Simpkins comes in to debut at hooker. He was great for the Magpies a couple of weeks ago when I was out there, watched him carve up the Eels for the Magpies, but also Leilua carved up for the Magpies.
Which
so
Leilua's
hopefully,
out? The young one? Luciano?
No, BJ Leilua has been dropped, I think. I'm not sure, but he's not in the centres this week.
No, I think he got HIH, didn't he, boys? He's concussed. But
good. Good. He was good for the Magpies. Let's hope he's good for the Magpies for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I cannot be back in the Tigers with no chance. Not a chance in the world. The final game on Saturday sees the Raiders take on the Eels. It's down there at Geelong Cold Stadium. It's $1.70, the Raiders. It's $2.15, the Eels. The handicap's at 2.5 with Blue Bet. Dunks, what do you reckon there?
Yeah, very keen on the Raiders, boys, back at home. I thought they really dished into the Panthers. They showed they're not that far off the pace, in my opinion. Big, you know, the Eels going down last week. Quick turnaround, six-day turnaround off that 6 o'clock game. Very keen on the Raiders here at the minus.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Canberra Raiders will be too good for the Eels down there at Geelong Cold Stadium. The Eels, I think some cracks are appearing. I'm surprised that the Eels are the outsiders in this game, but I agree, the Raiders will win.
I'm going to go the Eels on a bounce back here. I think St. George, losing to them was a bit of a shock to the system. I know it's a short turnaround and I know it's down there. Yeah, I think we'll have a bit on the Eels. We go to Sunday and the high-flying St. George Illawarra Dragons, the future premiership favourites.
We knew they had it in them.
They're playing the New Zealand Warriors. It's over there at No Means No Stadium at Kogra. It's $1.50, the Dragons. It's $2.60, the Warriors. Handicaps at 6.5 with Bluebet. Dunks, what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I'm a give-up, boys. I'm out of the trenches. You wouldn't want me in there with you. I'm with the Dragons. I'm with the Dragons 13+. I've been tipping against them all year, but got to go with them this week, boys.
Well, I've been supporting them all year. In fact, for many, many years, I knew that they were going to come good under Peter Griffin. They will beat the Warriors this week.
And you reckon Mary McGregor's travelling right about now?
He's filthy.
I'll have the Dragons, only because I think the Warriors are still carrying a lot of injuries. And without the accountant firm up there, Adam Fanua and Blake.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
They might be in some trouble. The final game of the week, North Queensland Cowboys. They're going to try and hide this. They're playing it at 4 o'clock. Surely a time at around about, midnight would have been a better idea.
The Dragons-Warriors game should have been the 4 o'clock game, but here we are. What can you do?
It's the Cowboys. That's right, the Cowboys coming off the back of a win up against the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. It's $1.45, the Cowboys, $2.75, the Bulldogs. Goes to show a fair bit about how both these teams are travelling. The handicap's at 6.5. This will be a good advert for rugby union, Dunks. What do you reckon?
Yeah, mate. Nice call, boys. Mate, I've got to tip the Cowboys at home. Taumalolo's back. -6.5. I've got to tip them 13+. The Bulldogs are horrendous. Cowboys for me, lads, at home.
Yeah, Cowboys by a mile.
Any word on the price for the Kyle Flanagan Dally M?
Oh, Kyle. If Kyle's not playing in the Super League within the next 2 years, I'll be shocked.
I've got a feeling Shane Flanagan might be a better halfback than Kyle Flanagan. Yeah, I'll be back in the Cowboys with this. When are the elections, Dunks? Let's get us onto that.
Mate, I'm just registering the party. I'll let you know when the leaflets are coming out and we'll spruik it across the... Across the podcast,
boys. Yeah, we're branch stacking as we speak. It's a worthy cause, very popular.
And anything going on with the Bluebet? Any big market moves for the premiership, mate? Before we go,
no, it's all quiet, boys. Mate, just don't forget the same game multi. It's been very popular, and very keen. On those anytime try scorers into the line. So the punters are loving that at the moment. So don't forget the same game multi at Bluebet.
And I know we say gamble responsibly, but if you can get a dollar for your mum's fridge, get it. And put it on something with Bluebet.
Hock everything each week and put it against the Tigers, and you can't go wrong.
All right, Dunks, we'll talk to you next week, brother.
Thanks, lad. You have a great week. I'll see you next week, boys. Thanks.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
All right, thank you to Duncan McRae from bluebet.com.au. Each week we have Duncan pick his tips, Former and I pick ours, and a creditor puts their tips in. Currently the leaderboard is Duncan on 29, you and I, Former, are on 28. The creditors are pretty shithouse. They're on 23. But if you want to be the guest tipster any week, go to patreon.com/FCTTB to be in the running to chuck us your tips. This week, we have someone. It's a drunk Buzz Rothfield. Here it is.
And it's not good.
Yes, Sid and Former. Thanks for inviting me on the show. It's your old mate, Buzz, to do the Patreon tips for this week. So, the first game, I'm going to go Penrith 13+. I think they're a sure thing this week. And then my Mighty Sharks. The Sharks will win for sure down there at all. Don't even know where they're playing. Melbourne Storm, unbackable favourites. They'll certainly win. The Titans will go on their continue their winning form. Souths will win. Souths will get up for sure, mate. Oh, I think they're going really good at the top of the comp there. And hang on. Right, Raiders will get home at Geelong Cold Stadium. Oh, I think they'll win pretty comfortably. Dragons, I think the Dragons will win. They'll win against the Warriors and the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a certainty to win. I'm sorry it's a bit late in the night to be calling through with my tips, mate, but I had to get them done for you. So there you go, old buddy boy. I'll try and get you spotted next week, Sid. I had to cut you out of a few photos, mate. Editing them. Right, boys. I'll see you at the live show.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. Boy sack.
Yes, the boy sack mail and feedback time. Now let's look at the footy tipping comp. It's under FCTTB 2021 tipping comp on the NRL site. If you're already registered in NRL and you're playing another comp, jump into that one as well. It won't hurt you.
It hurt me this week. Fat fingers.
It didn't. Decided not to tip all the games.
Yeah.
Tough to get a full book from there, you'd imagine.
Yeah, in the first game, somehow I picked the Broncos. Wouldn't think so. What a jip. So I've dropped down to 105th or some crap.
It's just about where you should be, you'd reckon.
Whatever.
I could go through the top 10, but I'm going to concentrate on 73rd.
Yeah.
Former legend.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Strong.
For you.
Strong. And I like that because I'm climbing the ladder indicated by that little green arrow there.
Yeah, I don't have the green arrow. No. I've got a little red arrow.
Yeah, what's that mean?
No good.
No good.
Fat fingers, it stands for. Who's at the top?
Let me go back up here. I mean, we really don't care. Nobbo 1, James Nobbs. He's running on 35 tips total.
That's pretty good.
Matt Riley, tip-ons and bat-offs, he's called.
Yeah, nice.
He's at 33, running second.
Good on him.
Andrew Madigan, who might be able to explain that car crash he just heard in the footy tipping.
He can tip.
He's running third. Jamie Rogers is fourth. Troy Wright.
The Jamie Rogers?
I hope so. She should come over to Bluebet. She'd be much more welcome.
Yeah.
Troy Wright, Brenda Cornell, Mark Mitchell, Dick Hat.
Is that Mark Mitchell?
Dick Hat.
From the comedy company? Has he been cancelled?
Dick Hat, Devil Sauce. We might look at the comedy company.
Yeah, let's have a look at that.
Dick Hat, Devil Sauce Squirters. Sure. Duncan Biscuits, ninth. And Michael Graz is 10th in the Greaser. The Slippery Man.
Oh, you could have stopped at 10 and not got the greaser in.
He's 11th, but he better be disqualified, apparently. Anything we need to know about the tipping comp? No?
No, tipping comp. I'm not going any good in it, so piss it off.
Membership packs?
Yes. Tracy, if you're listening, we need some more membership packs. They're selling like hotcakes. Those towels. Jeez, everyone wants a full credit to the boys towel, or as you call it, a kill rag. we mentioned the live show before. Go to fullcreditpodcast.com for tickets to the live show. They're selling like hotcakes. That show will sell out.
Off air, I'll tell you a story about a kill rag, and then you can decide whether I can tell it next week.
Well, I'm already voting yes, you can tell it. If you want to be a guest tipster, if you just want to support us, go to patreon.com/FCTTB. That's all the housekeeping I've got. What do you got?
I've got a couple of letters here. You went up to the letterbox.
I haven't opened them. I just handed them to you. People think that we're writing these. We are not.
I'll tell you something now. I'll tell you how much to prove that I haven't written this.
Yeah.
I've just read who this first one's from, and I'm already nervous, and I don't know whether to go on with it.
Okay. I've not seen it at all.
From the estate of Mr. Tommy Radonikis.
Okay.
Dear former and Sid. As fellow West Tigers fans, just letting you know, one of Tommy's last dying wishes was that the West Tigers put in a tough, courageous, winning performance against the Cowboys on Sunday at Leichhardt. We assured him not to worry, as there was no way West would lose against a hopeless, winless, shambolic, poorly coached team like the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this letter gets to you before the game and you're able to convey this wish to the players and supporters of the West Tigers. And If for some incredibly small chance they lose, Tommy said he'll haunt Luke Brooks for the rest of his life. Thank you for your time.
Good. Haunt him all the way over to Redfern or up to the Cowboys.
Our second letter comes from the general manager of Hershey.
Uh-oh. I may have mentioned Hershey last week. Okay, yeah.
It's come to our attention that our chocolate brand Hershey was used in a derogatory way on your program last week. We therefore request you cease and desist the use of our product name when referring to places you may or may not like to park your pigskin bus. Your puerile remarks regarding fishing for brown trout is not a subject your company would like to be associated with in the future. If you find it absolutely necessary to commentate on Turkish handshakes, I will warn you, the Cadbury Company also takes this very seriously. Yours sincerely, General Manager of Hershey Chocolate.
That's from number 4 Hershey Highway, suburb of Hershey.
Well, it's time for Former's Trivia, Sid.
Okay, I'll play the jingle.
This is a beauty.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his 2-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
Sid.
Yes.
In landscaping.
Yeah.
The term lawn mullet, that is basically new on the scene, refers to a neatly manicured front yard with an unmowed mess at the back.
That is great.
Just found that one the other day. Thought I'd share it with you all.
It's scarily accurate.
And on that note, see you around.
Good night.
Go the Swans.
Try not to get cancelled, people.
Playing games with my heart.